Thanks so much, Laura, for reading that for us. I love the way you made Laban sound so French, Laban. I love that. There's no reason why I should be Laban. He sounds so exciting and exotic. Love that. Thank you very much. Let's keep that passage open, page 31, and let's pray as we come and look at God's word together this morning as we continue our series in the Jacob years. Lord, thank you so much that your word is living. It kind of cuts into our hearts. Pray that we learn more about you, our great God. We'd see ourselves and go from this place trusting you, whatever happens this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, last week in Genesis 28, we saw this glorious moment where heaven came to earth. A bit like this, there was this ladder in the dream that Jacob had as he lay there with his hands, a head on a stone. And heaven came down to earth. Jacob encountered the living God, and God spoke to him amazing promises that he'd given already to his father Abraham, grandfather Abraham. Do you remember that? The promise of a land, the promise of a nation, and from that nation, someone who would come who would bring blessing to the whole world. And we know that promise results in Jesus coming, a glorious promise from God as heaven broke into earth and spoke to Jacob. And of course, God spoke an amazing promise, a personal promise to Jacob. Words of great promise as this a ladder of heaven comes down, this connection between heaven and earth. And actually, he's promised by the living God this in 28 verse 15. It says this, I am with you to the very end of the age. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. What a glorious promise of God's abiding presence with Jacob. Come what may. That is such a promise of comfort. Don't forget taking my little brother when he was just 3 years old. I was 13, 10 years between us. We took him on a family trip to Wookie Hole Caves in the Cheddar Gorge in Somerset and went to this massive cave. And in this massive cave, they switched all the lights off. And I suddenly heard my little brother whimpering. So I grabbed his hand, and the whimpering went. He knew he was not alone in the darkness. And that's the promise of the Lord God to Jacob, isn't it? I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. That's like the mighty hand of the living God stretching down from heaven to earth and gripping Jacob's hand in comfort and reassurance. Everywhere Jacob went, it was like the ladder went with him. Everywhere, it was like a Bethel, the house of God. Everywhere he went was the gate of heaven, for he promised to commit himself to Jacob. How wonderful. I am with you, and I'll watch over you wherever you go. Whatever the season of life, whether it's sunshine and joy or storms and clouds. And if you're a Christian this morning, that is the promise of Jesus to you, to his people. His abiding presence is with us wherever we go. We hear it when he says it to his disciples. He's about to go into heaven. It's Matthew 28. And Jesus says these wonderful words, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And friends, that promise comes to us by the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus. I am with you, Jesus says. I will not let go of you. I've got your hand. I'm for you wherever you go. So that connection of the ladder between heaven and earth, of relationship and care and concern, is always with us. That connection on the ladder made possible now for us through the death of Jesus Christ in our place. Jesus died that we might have that eternal relationship and connection with God the Father. That promise, I am with you, is because of what Jesus made possible at the cross. How glorious that is. And that's great, is that we see that when life is good and life is joyful and exciting and wonderful. But it's kind of harder to feel it when it's grey or dark or we're struggling, when life is messy or painful or uncertain. The question is, does still God walk with us then? Is that connection with the Lord God, traveling with us. Is it still there? Is it still Bethel, the house of God? Is the presence of God with us? Is he watching over us? Because sometimes, let's be honest, we can look at our lives and we can wonder, Lord, where are you? Why is this happening to my children? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my country? We often hear that cry, don't we, in the Psalms. Where are you, God? And the truth is that the ladder of God's presence is always with Jacob, and through Jesus is always with us in good and tough times. His promise, my friends, is sure. And I need reminding of that constantly, and so do you if you're following Christ. And in this chapter 29, we get a story of two halves, don't we? We see that God is present in the first half and the second half. The first half is exciting and zingy and rosy. The second half, quite frankly, is like a soap ugly opera. It's terrible. But God is present, and he's at work in the good times of Jacob. Well, we see that in this first little section together, verses 1 to 14. The ladder of God's presence is still there. The God of Jacob is not just about miraculous encounters of Bethel. He's far greater than that. He maintains, he directs, and he is sovereign over all things. For Jacob, everywhere he went, the ladder went. Everywhere he went was the house of God. It was Bethel. Everywhere he went was the gate of heaven. And God's planning and providential care is all over Jacob's life in this chapter. As he sets off, 29 verse 1, with a spring in his step, he gets to the land of his ancestors, the people, the eastern peoples, to a place his mum and dad told him to go, to his uncle Laban, to find a wife. And what does he see, verse 2, as he walks into the land? He sees a well. Don't you think echoing in his ears must have been the stories of how mum and dad met? They met at a well. God planned it. He was in it. Don't you think as he sees that well, his sense of anticipation is kind of spiking? There is a well. What is God going to do? Verse 2, picture the flocks of sheep lying near the well. And the stone is there that kept the water fresh and clean. It was over the mouth of the well. It was a large, heavy stone. It was so large, notice verse 3, it took shepherds, plural, that's a group of them, to shift the stone. It was so big. That's a very important detail we're going to see in a minute. And Jacob gets chatting. He asks the shepherds, where are you from? And they say, we are from Haran. Haran? That's where my uncle's from. Haran, you're from Haran? And he does what we do. You meet someone from Birmingham, and you say, do you know my auntie Bertha from Birmingham? Well, he does that. He says, look, do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson? It's my uncle. And they say, yes, we do know him. And then they say, take this, verse 6, and here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep. I mean, what a moment. Wow. I mean, Jacob for sure must have been thinking, the Lord is with me. I'm at a well. This is so like mum and dad. And now, one of my mother's family, his daughter's coming towards me. Can you sense the excitement? So verse 9, Rachel comes with her father's sheep. Do you know, Rachel's name means ewe lamb. So it's lamb coming with the lambs towards him. And as soon as he sees her, he rolls up his sleeves, he gets his guns out, and he has an extraordinary moment of strength. He lifts this mighty stone. Whoop! She must be so impressed. He even makes sure all the little fluffy sheep get something to drink. He's strong, and he cares for fluffy animals. What's not to love in this man? And then he greets Rachel with a kiss. And he gets totally overwhelmed, tissues out. And he weeps aloud because he's deeply moved. Why is he weeping? Because the Lord is so clearly at work. The business of heaven is happening. The ladder of heaven is present. God is working providentially in his life, just like he said he would. The Lord is with me. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you just weep? And then he explains to Rachel the reason for the tears. You see, he says, I'm a relative of your dad. I'm your auntie's son. So off Rachel shoots, verse 13. And as soon as Uncle Laban heard about Jacob, he runs to meet him. He embraces him. He kisses him. He brings him home like a prodigal son returning. He says, "You're my flesh and my blood." Wow. Can you imagine that night for Jacob as he lay in his tent, all tucked up in his duvet? He must have been so conscious of God's hand upon him. The promises of Bethel, of God's work in his life, providentially overruling. No wonder he cried. No wonder he delighted in all that God was doing. The Lord had said, "I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go." Everywhere he went, the ladder went. Everywhere was the throne of God, the gate of heaven, the house of God. The Lord was all over it. Isn't it beautiful when we see God doing that in our lives? We see his amazing hand on our lives. Never forget when our family from Ukraine arrived at our house. And we found out they were believers like us, that they loved Jesus. They were converted. We were just so thankful. Lord, you're with us, you're with them. You brought us together in your hand of providence. You are mighty. And I was at the gym this week. That morning, I've done my quiet time and I've been praying, "Lord, I want to speak to someone about Jesus." And I tried chatting to some of my friends there and I'm thinking, how can I get Jesus in? You know, they're pushing this stuff up and going, I could have thought, well, God is mighty. Shall I say that? Bit cheesy. Looking for natural opportunities. But then suddenly out of the blue, this lady comes up to me, says, "You're the vicar, aren't you?" And I go, "Yes, I am." And a conversation starts, and she wants to bring her mum to church, and you think, "Thank you, Lord. Your hand is over my life. You are with me. You're watching over me. You're at work. Thank you, Jesus." And times like that are great, aren't they? They feed our souls. We're conscious of the business of heaven, the commerce of heaven, heaven coming down to earth through Jesus. God is with us. He's at work, and it's amazing. Tears of joy. But what about when it's tough? We wonder, "Lord, where are you?" That's certainly the second half of this chapter, isn't it? Because in the first half, we see God is present at work in the good times. But actually, God is present and at work in the tough and messy times for Jacob too. That's verses 15 to 30. In the second half of this story, it all starts to turn a little bit sour, doesn't it? With Uncle Laban. There is a month's grace of staying for free with his family. And then Laban says, verse 15, in effect, "You've got to earn your keep. You don't get nothing for nothing in this family. What's your rate? What price have I got to pay you?" And of course, Jacob was dreaming of his little lamb, Rachel. And we think, verse 16, oh dear, we've already had Esau and Jacob. Now we've got Leah and Rachel. Verse 17, Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Leah's weak eyes, tricky to know what that really means. It might mean that her eyes didn't sparkle as much as Rachel's. We heard of Rachel with this beautiful body and appearance. I was reading this week in a book about culture at the time. They valued all sorts of different things that we don't value in love. But actually, she was not maybe what we thought she'd be. But actually, Rachel loved her. And the problem was that Jacob fancied the younger sister. He was in love with the younger one. So he shows just how much he loves Rachel by offering twice the amount of dowry price of work. So normally it was 2 to 3 years, a dowry to earn the right to marry someone's daughter. He offers double that plus one more. Verse 18, "I will work for you for 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." And that's what happened. And we know the story, don't we? And if you don't, listen in. Jacob is so love struck. I love verse 20. Look at verse 20. Jacob served seven years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him. 7 years is a long time. But with this love struck pup, it was just like that. He does his time. He has worked fair and square, and he turns to Uncle Laban and he says, verse 21, "Give me my wife, my time is completed, and I want to make love to her." So Laban gets the wedding party started, everyone gathers for a massive feast, everyone eats, and Laban takes his daughter to the awaiting groom to consummate the marriage. She would have been wearing a veil. It would have been very dark. No lights on your phone in those days. And Jacob was ready to meet Rachel. We see verse 22, he made love to her, thinking it was Rachel, and Leah did not give it away. She spent the night receiving his love for Rachel. Jacob whispering in his ear, Rachel's name in her ear, Rachel's name, but Leah pretending to be her. And morning comes, verse 25, and it's a bit of a shock. Verse 25, when morning came, one blink, two blinks, grabbing his glasses, he says, Leah. So Jacob has words with his father-in-law. Sounds a bit of a strain to me, verse 25. What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Jacob, whose name means cheat and deceiver. Jacob, the wheeler dealer, the deceiver, has met his match. Uncle, like uncle, like nephew. You've deceived me. And it's like God confronts Jacob with a mirror of what he has been like and what it feels like. And quite frankly, it feels terrible, especially when it's your family. Jacob deceived Isaac and Esau. Laban and Leah deceive Jacob. Can you imagine him spitting in shock? And Laban, the rather cool wheeler dealer, replies, verse 26, it is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage first before the elder one. Don't you know that? Finish his daughter's bridal week, then we'll give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years' work. And that's what happens. Marriage week one done. Leah, step to one side. Rachel is married. Read verse 30. Have a look at that. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. Oh, how hard that must have been. And he worked for Laban for another 7 years. Isn't it sad? It's a mess. You feel for Leah, you feel for Rachel, you feel for Jacob. What misery it would all cause. This soap, ugly opera. This is not commending polygamy, by the way. It's just describing what happened and not saying we should do the same. Marriage has always been and always will be between one man and one woman. This is an absolute mess. And it's quite a different story to the first half, isn't it? I wonder, as Jacob thought of the ladder of heaven, the picture of the presence and promises of God, did he wonder as he woke up to Leah, where was God in that? What was God doing in his providence, allowing that to happen? That promise that I'm always with you and will watch over you wherever you go, was it still true in the mess? That everywhere he went, the ladder went. Everywhere he went was the house of God. That everywhere he went was the gate of heaven. For sure, at one level he was working. God was working to change Jacob. This has got to be about spiritual and character formation, hasn't it? Do you think he was forming Jacob, changing Jacob to be the leader, the man that he wanted him to be? He was confronting him with the mirror of his own sin, the deceiver being deceived, and realizing just how awful that is. Don't you think that would, in God's providence, shape and change and mature him? And you know, God loves us so much that he does that. He sometimes shows us our sin through the ways that other people treat us. And he helps us by his Spirit to recognize what's wrong and to repent and change and to become more merciful and kind and humble like Jesus. Friends, perhaps right now you are facing at work or in your family tough times through difficult people. Laban-type characters, harsh people, deceitful people, untruthful people, critical people, arrogant people. And we cry, Lord, take it away. And God doesn't take them out of your life. Maybe it's that through them, the God who is with us, that he's doing the business of heaven, that where we go, he goes. His ladder is always there to shape and change his people. Maybe we need to take a good long look at ourselves and some of those traits that we find hard in others and wonder if God is saying, you're just like that. You give it, but you can't take it. You see, in the mess, God might be challenging us to change, be more like Jesus. In his loving discipline, he wants to make us more and more like his son. You see, when the Lord Jesus promises us that I will be with you to the end of the age, he's not just there to put a comfort blanket around us. That's what we need, friends. But also he's there and present to be a refiner. And he's working to make us more like himself. Through the pressures, through the fires, through the sufferings, through the difficulty. It can be a means of his grace and love to change us to be more like Jesus. What was God doing in this mess, in this chapter? Well, it's not just the work he is doing in Jacob, but he's also at work in a far greater scheme. This is all part of God's plan to keep those promises, to bring him back to the land, to have a family that would bless the world and would lead to the Savior, Jesus. And amazingly, from these women, Leah and her servant, Rachel and her servant, it is that messy, would be born 12 sons and one daughter. And from Leah's family line would come the Lord Jesus. Out of misery and rejection, the Lord would come. God's relentless grace and powerful plan to bless the world goes on even through this soap ugly opera. So friends, this morning, brothers and sisters, don't doubt that God is at work. Just as he was in this story, he is in our stories. That he is with you in the good times and in the mess. The business of heaven is going on. The ladder of his presence is with us through all that we face. And he wants to make us more like his son. And for that, we must give thanks to God the Father for his grace and his love and his mercy, as we hold all those questions we can't answer, but we trust him and we praise his name. Let me pray. Thank you, Father God, for your word, these extraordinary stories of people like us. Thank you for your promises to Jacob and your promises through him to the world. And we want to thank you for our Savior Jesus, that he is with his people in the joy and the mess, working all things to make us more like Christ. Help us to believe that, whatever we're facing. Sustain us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.